So, the second level of agreement that we ask from you is that you show up in the room transparently. That from now until the end of our time of sharing, that you agree through the processes that we will co-create, through the exercises and the explorations that we mutually undertake, that you agree through those and other devices to demonstrate to us who you are and to be transparent. No secrets, no hidden agendas, no withholds. A withhold is a secret. That which is withheld is lied about. When we know that not to withhold it would assist another in moving through this moment in their life. See, understand what I'm saying here. This is not an argument for walking down the street and seeing the first five strangers that you encounter and saying, "Hi, did you know I lost 30 pounds last week? I was really ugly before I did that." This isn't about just telling everyone everything about your life. That's not what we're talking about here. However, if there's something that you are withholding from someone that you know darn well in your heart of hearts, that if they knew that, they could negotiate the next moment in their life better. In other words, to put it in a vernacular, if you're holding five cards and you've only given them four and you know it, and still you're playing the game called, "Let's see who wins this hand." Five for me, four for you. And all of us know if there are people in our lives right now to whom we've dealt four cards while we're holding five. All of us know the unsaid has been said in a false way through your silence. So, this is called the truth seminar. And what's going to happen here is that we will learn together how to speak and then to create our truth. For truth is not only merely spoken and reflected upon, it is created. And we are going to ask each of you in this program to look at the four cornerstones of the human experience in the context of your currently functioning truth about it. And we're going to ask you to do that transparently. What is my transparent truth about money? What is my truth about love? What is my truth about sex? What is my truth about God? Then we're going to ask you to look at, having identified your truth and spoken it to yourself and perhaps to others, maybe to us in this room, does this truth work for me? Is it providing me a platform from which I can create and experience the grandest version of the greatest vision ever I held about who I am? If it is, bravo. If it is not, or to the degree that there is still a bit further we could go in the creation of that vision, to that degree, we will then invite you to create a new truth, to hold a new reality, to move into a new and grander experience, to recreate yourself anew. In the next grandest version of the greatest vision ever you held about who you are. And why go through all of that? Why even bother with it? That's why we came here. That's why we're on the planet. That's what the whole shooting match is all about. This isn't about getting through the week, paying the mortgage, putting a few bucks aside for the grandkids. This isn't about handling the phone bill. keeping the relationship together, keeping the job, getting the job. This isn't about this experience called life, what so many people have allowed it to be about. Your life has nothing to do with what you're doing, and everything to do with what you're being. Because you are not a human doing, you are a human being. And if you're not being what you're being from the place of your deepest and grandest truth, then what's going on? What's the point of it? And I tell you this, if you do not come from this place sooner or later, you will ask that question at the end of your life. I promise you. My father at 82 looked me square in the eye and said, "What's the point of it?" That's a very sad question to ask yourself at 82. What's the point of it? But it's not an uncommon one, because so few of us really know who we really are. I didn't. My God, when I was 16 years old, I thought I was my hair. I did. I was convinced that I was my hair. I must have been, because when my hair didn't turn out exactly right in the morning, I refused to be seen in public. Actually, not much has changed through the years. But when I turned 18, I got clear. All right. That was a silly, immature thought. Of course I'm not my hair. At 18, I knew the truth. I'm my car. And I knew I was my car because I could sense something about myself when I got behind the wheel of my car. The kids in the neighborhood got to know something about me. You know, they knew who I was based on the car I was driving. One night my car wouldn't work, and my father said, "Here, kid, take my car," and threw me the keys. I said, "Are you kidding me? I wouldn't be caught dead in your car." My father drove an Oldsmobile. Today I drive an Oldsmobile. And the sins of the father shall be visited upon the sons. Well, it didn't take me long to grow up. And when I turned 21, I realized how immature I had been to imagine that I was my car. Of course I wasn't my car. At the age of 21, I knew the truth. I was my women. What are you laughing at? That sounded faintly like the laugh of recognition. And I knew that I was my women because everywhere I went, I could feel other people having thoughts about me based on who was and who wasn't on my arm. And I want you to know that I played the game called I Am My Women for a very long time. It was a delicious game to play. But then one day I woke up and I realized, wait a minute, I can't be my women, because if I am my women, I must have multiple personality disorder. Okay, I said, okay, I'm clear, I'm not my women. And then I came to the conclusion, at the age of 36, my father said, the kid's finally grown up. I came to the conclusion that most of us, young American males in the latter part of the 20th century, came to. I am my... Yes, of course, my job. How come mostly women in the audience noticed that? Did you notice that? Very few men announced that just now. Guys, we're wearing the emperor's new clothes. Of course. And believe me, I played the game called I Am My Job at a very high level. As in, hey, it's my job, it's my work, I have to. It's my job. Then I looked at myself in the mirror somewhere around 42 and I said, wait a minute, I can't be my job. I've been fired 7 times. All right, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? And then I understood one day in a moment of extraordinary clarity, like a lightning bolt, it hit me. And now my mother said, he's finally grown up. Because I realized in that moment, of course, I'm my family. See, if my family disappears, I have no identity. I'm gone. So I played the game called I Am My Family at a very high level. Then one day I came home after another long day at a job I detested. And I opened the door to my house to find that the house was totally empty. Not just of people, but of furniture. Now, you know something's amiss when you walk in the house and all the furniture is gone. It's a true story. Wish it weren't, but it actually happened. I recall my reaction to this day. I opened the door and I went, my God, have you been robbed? But nobody comes into your house in the middle of the day and takes all the furniture out. That's ridiculous. Besides, not all of the furniture was gone. Over there in the corner, I noticed, was the coffee table that I brought into the marriage from my bachelor pad days. On the other side of the room was the stereo, the hi-fi that I had before I was married. I thought, no, this is crazy. This is crazy. This is not happening. I raced up to the bedroom. I threw open her side of the closet. All of her clothes were gone. I threw open my side of the closet. All of my clothes were still there. That's when I knew the awful truth. The robber was a woman. It's amazing what the mind will do to stop from looking at what's right in front of your face. But I couldn't. I couldn't stop from looking at it. I couldn't joke it away. I couldn't laugh it away. I couldn't brush it away. I couldn't make it go away. All I did was make her go away. And that's when I sat on the floor of my nearly empty living room and cried out, my God, what do you want from me? Who am I? Who am I? If all this is gone, who am I? Now I'll never have the delicious feeling of my grandchildren bouncing on my knee. Now I won't have my long-suffering, enduring wife with me when I'm 82 to hold my hand as I exit this world. Who am I? If I'm not this, who am I? And yet I tell you, that was the greatest moment of my life, because I got, that's not who I am. And when I got who I was not, I got, for the first time, who I could really be. You understand? Can you understand how this lovely, lovely angel of a person who came into my life and left it, left behind the greatest gift? Can you see how that could be possible? And so wherever you are, thank you. Because you gave me back to myself. And probably, truth be told, gave yourself back to yourself as well when you left. And so the question before the house is, who am I if I'm not all this stuff? And there's only one way to get to the answer to that question, and that is to tell the truth about it. And so we gather on this occasion for the truth seminar. And if you stick with it, if you stick with us this weekend, and if you stick with this program to its very end, you might just participate in the co-creation of a miracle. The recreation of the next grandest version of the greatest vision you ever held about who you are. If you do, you will recreate yourself anew. And in that moment, you will know the grandest glory of God. For God is that which recreates in the grandest glory. Indeed, in, as, and through you. So thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for staying turned on to the possibilities that await us both. For some people who listen to this program now, look at their lives and ask, why? And some people are looking at what their lives could be and asking, why not? And this is the beginning of the answer. This is the beginning of the end of not being who we are. Now, you enrolled in this course called Our Life. And you can't unenroll, because this is a course in miracles, someone once said. And you can't drop out of this course. Here you are. You might as well make the best of it. Not settle for the least of it. By the way, my name is Neil Donald Walsh. And I want to tell you something from the deepest part of me. I don't come here thinking that I have all the answers. But I will tell you this. I have had an extraordinary experience in my life. An experience in which I asked the questions we all ask about life and how it works, and I was given answers. I'll share with you some of those answers, and then I will enjoy listening to some of your questions. And then I'll give you some homework as we finish this first portion of our program that I will ask you to do when our present time of sharing is over, so that we can begin our next session with you all mentally prepared and ready to take off. If I sound sometimes a bit forceful, maybe even a little bit arrogant, I truly don't mean to, but I am passionate about what I've discovered, what I've been given, and how I've seen it change the lives of other people. And from that passion I speak, and if you will indulge that in me, we will share a wonderful time together.